Hello, I'm Dominic Cavendish, welcoming you to a special Theatre Voice session on the subject of theatre and funding, or to be more precise, theatre and funding cuts. I want you for a moment to have a listen to this. It's the first four paragraphs of a letter that was sent out by Arts Council England to a number of arts organisations in early December last year. It reads as follows. I'm writing to you about the Arts Council's intentions for regularly funded organisations for 2008-11. In light of the recent grant in aid settlement the Arts Council has received from the Department for Culture, Media and Sport. As the National Development Agency for the Arts, we are looking to fund a portfolio of strong, effective organisations that collectively can help to deliver increased attendance and participation in high-quality arts, appropriate provision in emerging priority places, and a strengthened visual arts infrastructure. It has always been our intention to ensure that the majority of the organisations that we fund from 2008/9 to 2010/11 receive at least an inflation uplift in revenue funding of 2.7% on their 2007/8 funding level. As a result, there are a number of organisations that will not have their funding agreements renewed or whose funding will continue at a reduced level. It is our intention not to renew funding to your organisation. End quote. It's generally acknowledged that around 194 arts organisations in total received notification in this way that the Arts Council intended to cut their funding in part or in whole. But perhaps most illustrative of the radical nature and range of the shake-up proposed were the cuts targeted towards the organisations that three of the panel today are here to represent. The National Student Drama Festival faces an immediate total cut of £52,000. The cultural commentator Robert Hewison, acting chair of the board, is here to talk about that. The Bush, the tiny new writing powerhouse in Shepherd's Bush, was told it would get a cut of £180,000, and its artistic director, Josie Rourke, is here to discuss that. Finally, the Orange Tree in Richmond, another of London's original and foremost fringe theatres, was also told it faced a cut of its grant by 17%. Its artistic director, Sam Walters, has dropped into De Winter's in central London, where this session is being recorded, to talk about that. Last but not least, here to air her views as a regular reviewer of the London Fringe for the Evening Standard is the critic Fiona Mountford. Welcome to you all. Before we look at the wider patterns that could be said to have emerged from these funding cuts, which is said to be the most far-reaching since the Arts Council's inception in 1946. I'd like to ask each guest in turn, if they don't mind, to talk about the position their organisation is facing at the moment. Perhaps we could start with you, Sam Walters, and the Orange Tree.
Well, the funding cut that's come to us was actually 17.09%. Somebody worked out very carefully that would reduce our funding from 360,000 down to 300,000 exactly. And the reason given for it is that we're in a culturally well-served area. It's nothing to do, with the excellence. The word excellence has been bandied about rather a lot, so it's very important, I think, for theatres, and the same obviously applies to the Bush, that the reasons that they're behind reducing our funding has got nothing to do with what we do or how we do it, but is because of where we are. The hope, I imagine, from the Arts Council towards us is that we will somehow absorb this cut. Because our funding is, we would argue, too low, very low anyway at the moment, it is a cut of £60,000. It is not the same level of cut as the Bush, which is coming down from a higher amount in the first place. So that I imagine that is what they hope that we will do, that because it's a fairly well-off area and those of our audience that perhaps come from that, they think, could deal with the price rise and so on, that somehow or other we will absorb this. The fact that over 60% of our audience do not come from our area, but come from all over London and come from surrounding boroughs that are not well off and not a leafy suburb, as they might think Richmond is perhaps not been part of their thinking.
Okay, well, maybe we'll come back to these kind of strangely tangled issues of regional, local, national importance as vis-a-vis particular venues. But do you want to just say, finally, what does it mean for you, that cut? If that cut goes ahead and you don't find the shortfall, what does it mean for the
Well, of course, there's a response process, and we've been responding, and we hope that our response might stop them doing it. So we haven't actually sat down and had a firm meeting about what it will do. Have a trainee director scheme, which has been very successful over the last 20-odd years. it costs us money rather than makes us money. It's something we can survive without. And so that is something, and it's a high profile thing that we do. And it's something I think that I think may have to go. What other things? I don't know. It may be to do with play choices and cast sizes. We've often done plays from the past. They often have large casts. If you're going to employ 12, 13, 14 actors, that costs money. If you've got £60,000 less in your budget, you may well be looking to say, well, I can't do that play. So it may affect play choice.
Right, well, pretty grim news. Robert Hewson, the National Student Drama Festival was not necessarily a festival that many people will have attended, although a large number of people who are successful in theatre today have been there.
First of all, can I just say that, yes, because so many people have been through the festival since we started in 1956, we have had fantastic support from the theatre profession. And I want to say thank you to everybody who's come out in support of our petition. We had something like 3,500 people signing our petition, our electronic petition. And the letters that I have seen between, as you might call, the great and the good and the lovely, between them and Chris Frayling, Chairman of the Arts Council, and Janet Barnes, who chairs the Regional Council in Yorkshire, who takes the initial decision, have just been absolutely devastating and fantastic. Actually, it wasn't quite a shock for us because we're quite well connected, and therefore we had some inkling that we had some little hints that something might be about to happen to us. Although last October we had our annual review meeting with Arts Council Yorkshire and they didn't say a thing. And of course our real problem is it's not just that we're facing a total cut of £52,000, it's that we have a festival to put on in 8 weeks from now. And if they cut our grant on February the 1st, we will lose £23,000 from the funding for the next festival, because something the Arts Council has had to have explained to them by us, we are actually funded partially retrospectively. So we lose £52,000 from next April, but we actually will have to make cuts to the programme, which is already signed, sealed and committed. So we're in a particular difficulty there. And what really shocks me is that neither Arts Council Yorkshire nor Arts Council, the central body, seem to understand how they actually fund us. And that is one of the bases of our appeal.
Thank you. It does seem as though a recurring theme of criticism and commentary on the whole Arts Council funding shake-up is one of an aptitude, that the Arts Council hasn't been quite aware of what it's been dealing with when it's been announcing particular cuts. And in your case, Josie Rourke, it seems as though that example is at its most striking.
Yeah, it's I share the view really of both Sam and Robert here. It's two things really. One is that it's swift and hard to get to the bottom of, and the other is it's been met with this incredible, unanticipated from us, and I think also by the Arts Council, support from Bush audiences and our regular supporters and the industry and everyone who's been through that theatre. And it's been an incredible exercise for me because I only took over as artistic director 8 months ago. So in a way, if it's possible to wring anything positive from this process, a really incredible sense of the value of the organisation, why it's needed, why it's wanted, all those things have been asserted by people who've been through the bush long before I took over this job, and I hope we'll continue to do so. Our problem really when we received the letter on the 14th of December was we weren't quite sure why the Arts Council were proposing to cut our funding. There were two things mentioned in the letter. One was that they wanted to equate our funding with that of peer organisations of whom a similar level of delivery is expected and achieved. But we didn't know who those peer organisations were, nor was our officer at that point, who actually left just at Christmas, able to tell us. The other thing that I mentioned was the building, which I knew when I took over this job, the building has been a matter of concern for the Arts Council and for the Bush itself for some time, which is not to say that it's not a fantastic space and one that has a huge amount of quite correct, I think, not only sentiment but also genuine feeling of it being a beautiful functioning theatre space behind it. But there are difficulties to do with disabled access, to do with capacity. We're down to 81 seats, we were 120 back in 2004. And so those seem to be the basis of those two concerns. But of course, in terms of the building, we've been working with the Arts Council to try and find what is a unique solution to a problem which has no capital investment in order to to solve it. And, you know, we've been working quite hard with that, and we felt with them. So we were quite surprised when we got the letter. And it seemed particularly to hinge on this notion of peers, of whom I now know the Orange Tree to be one. But we only know that because we use the Freedom of Information Act to put in a request to find out who those organisations were, and that information was released to us under that act. What also became apparent when those documents came through, and they came through in two batches, was that some of the figures within them, particularly ones to do with audiences and public performances, had been misrecorded. So the audience figure, you will have heard this bandied about a bit, I'm sure, appears to misrecord our audiences by nearly two-thirds, which is quite a substantial figure when you're talking about doing peer comparison. It also has us down as presenting 6 productions a year, when in fact we present 12, but that's in a different mix and not just out of the bush, but beyond. And quite naturally, that's formed the basis of our response, the response Sam mentioned before.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I could imagine that just that technical anomaly itself would very much assist your counterclaim, so that the Arts Council would have, as it were, the reason, the rationale to go back and say, we hadn't quite worked out the sums, or we made a mistake in the calculations. But I mean, do you think there is something about the singling out, or at least the homing in on the bush as a likely candidate, which suggests that the Arts Council's underlying rationale is to do with what the bush represents in terms of its programming, what it does in terms of the playwriting culture? Do you think there's something to do with that going on here?
Yeah, well, I'm capable of being incredibly boring about this, but regionally, in regions that are not London, these decisions have been made in line with a set of specific regional priorities that I'm sure Robert will be able to talk about. In London, there exists no specific set of London priorities. And when we're asked, we're told to refer to national priorities. If you read, and actually, funny enough, I've been talking about this for some time, even before this proposed cut, if you read the Arts Council's current theatre policy, at no point does it mention the word playwright. And writers comes up a couple of times, but in a list with other practitioners. Now, the Arts Council have been quite clear that they are not stepping back on their commitment to new writing, but if that's the only policy document you've got to look at, and if they're proposing to make a cut so substantial to the bush that it would seriously diminish our activity, you have to infer that there is some kind of strategy going on in terms of just stepping away slightly from a commitment to playwriting. I mean, what's hard, and I'd be interested to hear what other people feel about this, is there's been a lot of talk about text-based and non-text-based work. And what I'm keen doesn't happen is that a wedge gets drawn between those two practices, because actually my practice as a director is hugely enriched by going and seeing non-text-based work. I love that work. It just so happens that I am better at directing plays with words in them than I am plays without. That's my own skill set. You know, but those two parts of our sector, as the Arts Council will call it, I think are in continual conversation. You know, one of the reasons that I wanted to do this job at the Bush is because I think it's our central theatrical tradition, playwriting. I think we do it better than anywhere else in the world. I am proud about it and loud about it. And I think that it needs serious and explicit support by the Arts Council. And if anything comes out of this, I think there will be a consensus of playwrights pushing for that now. And it has heightened the awareness of a certain stepping back, a certain diminishing in that as an interest.
I just wanted to turn to you, Fiona Mountford, to ask, it seems to me an incredibly aggressive way of going about affecting change. As a reviewer of plays at the Bush, of shows at the Orange Tree, and I'm sure as a beneficiary indirectly of work that's come via the National Student Drama Festival, what do you make of the behaviour of the Arts Council in all this?
Well, I agree with everything Josie, Sam and Robert have said. I think one of the most insidious features of this whole unholy mess is I think it's created a sort of slightly Stalin-era whisper culture amongst theatre practitioners, because the secrecy that's been involved in some of this, people have had uplifts, but they're not allowed to talk about it. People have had their money cut and are not allowed, are not meant to be talking about it. I think it's created a lot of suspicion and uncertainty, and I don't think that's healthy at all. And I think one of the most inept facets of the whole thing is the way the appeals people have been informed provisionally they're getting more money, they're being funded for the first time or however, but the appeals procedure by the Bush, the Orange Tree, the National Student Drama Festival and so on is ongoing. There's not an infinite pot of money, so if people's appeals are successful, that means people who have been informed they're getting more money are not going to get it. It seems such an incompetent way of running something so important. And I think that's created a lot of suspicion, fear, anxiety in the theatre community. I mean, I, for example, had a rather fractious conversation this week with one theatre that has provisionally been told it will have an uplift in its funding, and it's very nervous about this, and it's not been signed and sealed, and that people are very twitchy, and I think this could have been done in a wholly different way.
Mm. Could I make a point about whether this is systematic or not? Well, the truth is, it completely isn't systematic. The problem is that we're supposed to have an integrated arts council, a kind of one nation arts council, but it has regional councils and regional offices. And as far as I can gather from talking to other people, there is now no common theatre policy. And we used to have one a few years ago, and it did a great deal of good, particularly in the regions where the repertory theatres all sort of caught fire again and became creative. Well, I can tell you that the principles that have been applied by Arts Council Yorkshire are different from those that are being applied in the East Midlands, and there don't appear to be any principles being applied in London. And the real problem also for an organisation like ours, the National Student Drama Festival, is that because we happen to take place for a week in Scarborough every year, when we are very, very happy to be, and we are doing a good thing because we're not being a big metropolitan organisation or anything like that. Because we happen to be in Scarborough, we are funded through Dewsbury, a place I've never been to, I'm afraid, even as a theatre critic. And there is a tension between what Dewsbury Arts Council Yorkshire thinks we are and what the profession knows we are, which is a national organisation with a very, very strong regional base. And I'm glad to say that actually Scarborough Borough Council and the theatre department of Hull University, which actually integrates with us, we play an important role both for the Stephen Joseph Theatre in Scarborough and for the local university, have been very strong in supporting us. But the trouble is now we feel, one of our worries is that because we've had people like alumni Michael Boyd, director of the RSC, because we've had Nick Heitner, because we've had Andrew Lloyd Webber, because we've had Cameron McIntosh all speaking up for us, we've even had an ex-arts minister, Baroness Blackstone, who happens to be an alumnus of the festival, actually saying this is all nonsense in a letter. Because we've had a big national response, we're worried that regionally they will say that, oh, well, they'll be sorted out somewhere else.
So there's a very confused dynamic between the regional and national.
There is, in fact, because it's being kept secret, because a lot of organisations have kept shtum, because even to be told that you're going to be cut, even as in our case, and I believe in the Bush's case, where actually we've done nothing wrong, they've certainly have not complained about either our management or our artistic outcomes, it's damaging. People think, well, there must be something wrong with you.
Yeah, I certainly think that's true. I mean, you know, Sam made a very important point before. None of the three organisations here in this room have their excellence in dispute. Yeah. And what's been very interesting about this process is that it's sort of reached over the publication, the Master Review, which is a review into excellence. And actually, that the word excellence has crept into Arts Council's discussion of funding decisions following that report with a much heavier frequency, I think. And I'm very concerned that people will imagine that there is something rotten in the state of Denmark in terms of what's going on, but nobody knows. Yeah.
But in fact, on the McMaster report, what is interesting is that the Arts Council is specifically criticised in that report for destroying its own touring department. Now, of course, touring is one of those national activities that require a national overview, and touring is getting harder and harder and harder because what we're essentially having is a balkanisation of theatre policy through these regional offices.
The confusion, I mean, is the peer organisations that Josie mentioned. The whole Hornchurch was once regarded, I thought, as one of our. It's a totally different theatre. Fine, but it's a 500 seat theatre serving a very different community with a very different programme. There doesn't seem to be any clear thinking, and the way that the Bush and the Orange Tree, we may be peer organisations in many ways, but the reasons that they are reducing us are totally different. There is a great lack of confidence now in what people are doing, but in which people are doing it and why they're doing it and who they are, because there are no longer proper professional representation on Arts Council panels and so on. Now, I'm sure, as Peter Hewitt said at the meeting at the Young Vic, there was a lot wrong, I'm sure, with Arts Council panels. I was on one once, and I'm sure they were very difficult to manage in all sorts of ways. But now one feels that the decisions are taken by people who actually don't know anything about your organisation at all. I knew Dick Linklater and Dennis Andrews and Jean Bullwinkle in the 1970s, who were the drama directors. I don't know who they are now. They don't come to board meetings anymore. They've written us letters saying that they won't be attending. Thank heavens, really, we don't really want them at board meetings. But they don't come to board meetings. They don't come to the plays. There's no sense of contact with the people. You feel they are now bureaucrats sitting in front of their computers, lining things up, wanting sums to add up, moving that across from one column to another, and that they are not actually engaged with the profession that they are dealing with.
Yeah, I'd like to follow on from what Sam's just said, really. I think there's a sense, a disquieting sense in all this, that exactly people who are making the decisions, there's an overwhelming element of box ticking in this, and I think that's something that theatre needs to do to some extent, and no one would disagree with that, but it seems to me, certainly, that the box ticking has really taken precedence over far too much else in this round of decisions. As we've been discussing, there seems to be no clear rationale for the decisions that have been taken. They're all very muddle-headed, and I spot something worrying at work in that.
The question I want to ask, which maybe the more cynical would ask, is if somebody came along tomorrow and said, don't worry, it's fine. We've had a look at our figures. We've had a look at the funding process, and in each case, we'll reverse the decision. You're going to be in the clear. Do you feel, obviously you're arguing your own case very vigorously at the moment, but do you think there is a kind of grey area around some organisations where they wouldn't necessarily attract the word excellent in description of their work, where they're quite vulnerable. They're quite vulnerable to being shut down or shaken up or moved out of the picture.
Well, I think what I have argued, and I did argue at the now infamous Young Vic meeting, on the basis that we just received our Freedom of Information Act documents the afternoon previously, was that if the Bush's documents contain information and data that is inaccurate, then that surely is serious cause, irrespective of other criteria that have been used in the process, to think about calling a halt to it and auditing the data that's contained in other people's documents, rationales. That's been the sort of methodology, that's what we're beginning to hear quite a lot, actually, in this practice.
Something good that could come out of it, I suppose, is that we would hope that the Arts Council may have to restructure itself, reorganise itself, rethink itself, because clearly there's a huge dissatisfaction with that. As far as we're concerned, of course, we're an outer London borough, so the argument has been that we're a well-served outer London borough, but in Havering and Enfield there is much less, so that somehow we must have money taken away from us so that, well, will our money go to Enfield? I don't know. If there's a problem with funding outer London boroughs, it seems rather odd to take a comparatively small amount of money from a theatre in an outer London borough. Why not think of getting new money or take it from the centre? And as a well-served outer London borough, better served perhaps than Islington and Camden and central London, are we? It seems odd thinking.
I do think there's an issue here in terms of, as Fiona was saying, the entire process. Because these are proposed cuts and not cuts, and responses and not appeals, you know, on one level, you know, we're very grateful that it's a proposed cut and we have the opportunity to make a decent response. But one of the difficulties with it is we can't see what the entire picture is. So I don't know, for example, if there is if the Arts Council is planning to set up a new writing theatre in Holland Park on a similar scale to the Bush. You know, it's impossible for me to know that. And if I did know that, I would have made a response on that basis. Who knows if they're going to start up a National Student Drama Festival funded out of another part of the country? We simply don't know because of this, the nature of this process and the degree of secrecy. What I do know, and I do believe, is that I can't see how £180,000 taken away from an institution like the Bush will better serve the playwriting community elsewhere. I think that playwrights only properly get developed through production. I think that's what we do incredibly well. And also I think that the important thing about having institutions like the Bush, and more than one of them, you know, a peer for us might be the Royal Court upstairs, is that emerging writers know that there's somewhere where they can send their first play, it will be read, and they stand a good chance of putting it on. And actually those institutions are few and far between.
What I can say is there is only one National Student Drama Festival, and there is only going to be one National Student Drama Festival, because we're sure as hell not going to shut down. And fortunately, the Sunday Times, which has sponsored the festival since 1956, it's the longest running arts sponsorship in the world, I think. Fortunately, this crisis has actually made them commit themselves even more strongly to what we do. I mean, it could be that they might decide to fund the National Youth Theatre instead, but that the National Youth Theatre is a completely different kind of organisation. The real problem in our case is, and this is where again they just don't seem to know how things work, is that Arts Council Yorkshire said, well, what you do is absolutely fine. I mean, that's the implication of what they're saying, but you should be funded through the education sector, which is a complete misunderstanding of what we do, because actually it's the fact that we're not in the education sector which actually makes students like us. Mm-hmm. And of course we're not part of the curriculum. The majority of our students are not drama students in any way. They are people who may well enter the profession, though again we don't see ourselves as entirely just existing to create theatre professionals. We think it's just as important to create an informed audience, and that's where the passion of the festival really, you know, really stays with people, because these people, the 1,000 or so people that pass through the festival every year, they're not all going to end up in the West End, but a lot of them are going to end up going to the West End. And I just think that this, and in fact we argue that we do exactly what Arts Council Yorkshire's policy says it is, which is increase attendance and participation in high quality arts. And they say that they want to take our money away from us in order that they can create this so-called increased attendance and participation, which is seems to be an absurdity.
An interesting cycle about Arts Council cuts, because we know they do happen, just haven't happened in quite this way for quite some time. But there is a general percolating kind of backwash of opinion which says, look, you're never going to have any kind of shake-up without pain, without outcry, without a sense of outrage. And isn't it, I mean, if you look back to previous indignation over cuts, you know, the theatre scene today is actually quite healthy, perhaps partly because there were cuts made further down the line which enabled young companies to set up, which enabled theatres to get off the ground.
Well, I think anybody would dispute that as Hewitt again said at the meeting, would dispute that the Arts Council have a right to make choices. But in the case of the Bush and the Oratory, which were founded within a few months of each other and have been going, you know, for 36 years or whatever it is, if you're really going to do something substantial to them, you could talk to them, couldn't you? You could discuss with them. We certainly had nothing. The Bush may have had something, I don't know. We had absolutely no indication of this from our meetings or by letter or by anything. So if you're going to do something to two organisations, both of which have, you know, reasonably good reputations and have been contributing to the theatre for 36 years, and you want to do something substantial, you have the right to do it. You have the right to consider it. But the organisation has a right to have been talked to have been able to argue its case, to have been able to respond, not by writing letters when a letter has come to them saying you're cut, but in a human, you know, to and fro way, as part of a dialogue over the preceding year. It could have been that the Minister Purnell, who's gone now, of course, must be hopping mad. There was an article by Louise Jury in the Evening Standard saying, having fought to get more money when there was a fear that they might get less, to then have had this PR disaster thrown at him like a whole lot of broken eggs, must have angered him somewhat. It could have been done. Of course there's got to be change. Of course there are going to be new things coming up and they've got to be supported. Some old things will die, like flowers in a garden, they'll disappear. Some of them will just disappear. And of course some things may need to be cut, but it needs to be done properly.
I think it's a problem now. I think the Arts Council must find themselves in a very insidious position now, because I think they've backed themselves into a corner. They've created this mess, and somehow they've got to resolve this mess. And what they presumably can't do is say, fine, we take it all back, let's leave everything as it was. They'll have to do something. They can't do nothing. They'll have to do something. But then there's going to be a whole new raft of protests from people who've been promised money who are not going to get that money. I can just see this running and running. They must be unhappy at how they've played this, because it's just going to run and run now. Wave upon wave of disgruntled organisations. And as Sam says, it's a terrible shame, because actually, overall, it is good news. And I think James Purnell has done a good job. And I think it's a great shame he's gone now. I think he's done a great job. And the end result is that pretty much everybody is cross.
I think, in fact, the Arts Council has said that... okay, if it does rescind some of these cuts, it's not actually going to cut the uplifts. It's going to take the money from central funds or something. Quite how they do that. But what that does mean is that clearly not all the 194 organisations are going to survive. Lots of little theatres, you know, Chipping Norton, places like that are probably going to go. And they're not, you know, for sheer macho reasons, they're not going to rescind a lot of these decisions, because then they really would look like the idiots they are.
I mean, you say, I don't know, everyone's been quite favourable towards James Purnell, but it strikes me, perhaps, that really, with a nod and a wink, Purnell's extra cash and the accompanying documents supporting excellence, is there not a relationship between what New Labour would like the arts to look like in these cuts, and the fact that it's the non-metropolitan theatres, it's the middle-class serving theatres that are under duress here? I mean, that actually the vision is quite clear, that what you want 10 years down the line is a very different, possibly excellent, but certainly much more multiform and diverse kind of theatre, that the old rep theatre, the old playwriting culture is not going to be around if the government's got anything to do with it for much longer.
I don't think it's very difficult actually to read the signs, but I don't read it that way. I mean, some organisations, some you might call bourgeois, well-established bourgeois theatres, West Yorkshire Playhouse, the RSC, the National, they're actually getting uplifts. They're doing quite well. I also happen to know that in Yorkshire, actually, a number of small companies are getting uplifts, which is we welcome, particularly as most of those companies are actually full of people who are either currently working with us at the NSDF or have been through, as it were, our hands. But what I do think the pattern has been soft targets. I mean, the National Student Drama Festival is a lovely soft target because it doesn't have a building, so you can cut us by 52,000 and no lights can be seen to go out. The Northcote, though, on the other hand, where they piled all this money into a building to then tell them virtually the day they open that they're going to shut them in a year's time, seems to be a complete nonsense. And I think the Bristol Old Vic problem is simply because they've got so embarrassed about what's going on there. I don't really think we can yet detect a pattern in this, and that's what makes it even more annoying and absurd.
Yeah, I think I have to resist slightly from my corner the notion that playwriting is a diminishing or disappearing craft of the past. Certainly in terms of the programme that I'm hoping to do at the Bush, should our funding be instituted at its current level, there's three plays by two of whom by playwrights you've never heard of, and both are extraordinary new voices that seem to me to be wholly unique and wholly in the tradition of what the Bush does. And actually what I think the Arts Council needs to accept is the importance of having institutions, be they building or buildingless, for new talent to come through, precisely like the National Student Drama Festival. We have a playwright under commission to us at the moment who was discovered, as it were, at the NSDF. You know, there's an enormous
amount. And the Bush has worked with us. You know, we're really grateful to have those links with the Bush, and I'm glad it's a two-way process.
Absolutely, and actually what needs to be celebrated, you know, I would say the same was true of the Orange Tree as well. What needs to be celebrated is the anomalous, the idiosyncratic, the strange, the unique, the new, and the different ways and organisations through which that comes in this country. And I think the Bush is one of them. I think the Orange Tree is one of them, with the incredible work that Sam does to discover these unperformed and forgotten plays, with the extraordinary facility. And I think it's terribly important, Robert's point, that the NSDF offers not just to people who are coming through drama schools, but to people who are studying geography and had never thought about doing a play in their life before and are, you know, ignited by the National Student Drama Festival. The Bush reads 1,000 unsolicited plays a year, from some of whom, from people who wouldn't have had the idea of sitting down and writing a play did they not know that an institution like us exists. And it's terribly important to acknowledge that facility in terms of celebrating the new and celebrating the excellent.
I think it's an interesting point that Dominic made a while ago about, do we spot some overarching government sort of social strategy in this? And I think to some extent I do see that. There's the letter the Arts Council sent out to some organisations, I think it said, we're investing more money in street art and, I can't remember the exact terms.
Circus
street art. And there is a sense, a very New Labour sense, I think, in this, that somehow, you know, art will stop crime, will cure society. And that's a good thing to some extent, but I think some people are unfortunate victims of that policy, a policy that is utopian at best.
I think the circus stuff is actually because, of course, the one group of people, and God bless them, who have been pleased about the Olympics are all the street performers and the circus artists and all those kind of public art people who are all extremely happy the Olympics are coming, because we've got to invest in, you know, a whole lot of parades and all this kind of stuff to make that particular fortnight, 3 weeks of sporting fun happen. So this could be a piece of strategic planning. Good heavens.
Does anyone here, as it were, want to state their ideas about whether the Arts Council should be reformed? Whether this is, as it were, just a kind of one-off terrible, ghastly mistake which the Arts Council should rectify, whether the Arts Council itself needs to be faced a kind of root and branch reform?
I would think it looks as though it will face a root and branch reform, because there is the groundswell of opinion is pretty strong, and what they've done has been almost universally criticised, and they have grown remote from the profession that they are supposed to be serving, and they can't but have heard, and they can't but understand and respond to what has happened. So I think that will happen. And in the light of the McMaster Review, which indeed asks for that, it asks for more of professional involvement in the Arts Council. It's very odd, again, awfully ill-timed that these things should have happened and then the McMaster Review comes out. They may, of course, have had access to it, but we didn't, and it has, you know, it has done something else peculiar to the mix that makes you think, does the right hand know what the left hand is doing? Oh, I think the good thing that will come out of this will be that the Arts Council must be reformed and looked at again.
Okay, quickly.
I just don't see how the Arts Council can get itself out of the mess it's currently in. I think it's just, it can't move now, and I think it will have to dissolve because it can't move.
Josie?
Actually, this is a very specific thought, but it's to do with the FOI data that we got and an apparent difference in methodologies of recording companies and recording figures. And actually, if there's one particular thing that I want to see, it's a smartening up of the bureaucracy. If it's a bureaucracy, can it be an efficient bureaucracy?
I think there are some signs of hope. First of all, Peter Hewitt goes, and we do get a new chief executive, Alan Davey, who certainly knows, since he worked for the DCMS, knows where the bodies are buried, and in a year's time we get a new chairman. But I personally, and I've noticed this in Wales and Scotland, where the local literally the local government, the Assembly and the Scottish Parliament tried to get much closer to cultural policy, and immediately people called in aid the arm's length principle. So I still think the arm's length principle, which the Arts Council exists to represent, has to continue. But what the Arts Council has to do, what the DCMS has to do, what the British Council also has to do, incidentally, in a whole other row that's going on, in all three cases, what they have to do is to restore trust between them as functionaries and responsible bureaucrats and us as artists or people who are doing their best to make the best art that this country represents.
Well, that's an interesting statement, and perhaps also a question which can be presented to Barbara Matthews, Head of Drama at the Arts Council, when she appears on Theatre Voice in the next session. But this session is now out of time, but I'd like to thank you all for taking part in it. Josie Rourke, Fiona Mountford, Sam Walters and Robert Hewison.